guys, and welcome to the Woman's Cave. Yay, it's just me today. Yeah, Jade actually is doing other cooler stuff today. I don't know what that is, but I think it's cooler because she's not here, so obviously it must be cooler. Anyway, so if Jade were here, I would say we welcome you to the Woman's Cave, but since she's not, let me tell you what we do really quickly. So we are, I am, not we, unless I consider myself a divinity. I am one of the And I Thought ladies. There's 15 of us now, go figure. And we write books, lots of books. We have And I Thought Divorce Was Bad, And I Thought Being Grown Up Was Easy, And I Thought I Could Juggle It All, we did, and then we figured out that we couldn't, go figure. And I Thought I Did My Journey Alone, And I Thought He Was the One, The Misfit Guide to Sassy Sway to Crooked Footprints, That Leave Crooked Footprints, and The Misfit Guide's Cocktail Soirees, and the LBD. We're also the editors of the 25 Hottest Indie Authors, Artists, and Advocate magazine. It comes out once a year in March. You guys, nominations are open, so please nominate. We love the assistants. We don't want to pick all 25. A joke. Anyway, a joke about us picking all 25. Also, we have the docu-series, because Jade is not too far away. It's okay, she's not doing cool stuff. She's actually handling business. But Jade isn't too far away, so we have the docu-series on Amazon and Channel 18 in California. Yay! We just found out that our UK people watch us more than our US folks, so thank you to the UK for watching our television show. I appreciate it. I don't know if Jade does, but I do. She's not here, so I can throw her under the bus, too. Well, you can find out everything that your ladies are doing at andwethought.com. You can go to the ladies tab and go down to the middle, and you can support the charities that we proudly support. And this would be the moment where I would introduce our guest, but I'm going to give a moment. I'm going to give her a moment. What we have coming up next, we did the Thoughtful Book Festival, so please, you guys, go check out the Thoughtful Book Festival on YouTube. We have, like, one stage, the reading stage, up. Next year, we'll probably do the Thoughtful Book Festival again. Come and see the speakers. Have an enjoyable day in literature. And we also have the Experienced Writers Retreat coming up in Las Vegas on October 10th and 11th. Ah, there's our wonderful guest. Wonderful guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Janice Hoffman. And I'm the author of Relationship Rules. And I'm just so happy to be here today to talk about dating and how women can be more successful in being happy with ourselves as well as in dating.
Exactly. I think, I'm going to ramble, and I'm not a dating coach. But let me just quickly say, I feel that being happy with yourself is the first key of finding happiness in someone else. Because you can't find what you don't already have.
Absolutely.
You can only add or take away. A lot of people to take away. A lot of people to take away. So if you're happy with yourself, you have a place to start. So what would you say is the most important thing that we should know about relationships as women? Yeah, I started off with something a little loaded, right? My bad.
There's so many things I could say, but probably I'll start off with something I feel really strongly about, which is men and women are different. And we're wired different, physically we're different, mentally we're different, emotionally we're different, physiologically we're different. And to learn what our differences is so that you know if your partner is reacting in a way that's based on our gender differences or if it's something that, is personal. Many times people do and say things that we take personally, which is more based on our gender than it is based on a personal attack on that person. So let's say you have a fight with your boyfriend or your husband, and you say, I can't do this anymore, and you go in the bedroom and you shut the door and you're crying, and after a few minutes you think, I don't really want to fight, and we only have this short time together because maybe your kids are with their the opposite parent, and so you come out of the bedroom and you walk up to, you're about to walk up to your partner and say, hey, let's not argue, let's get this resolved. And when you walk out of the bedroom, you see that he's sitting in front of the television watching TV with a beer and a bag of Doritos, looking like he's not any, he's not hurting because you just had an argument. So you might think, well, he must not care very much because look at, he's all relaxed watching TV, having a beer and eating some chips. And, this didn't mean anything to him. That's not true. Men are able to compartmentalize their feelings. And so he can put that argument that he had with you over here and then watch TV, and the two are not equally, they're not mutually exclusive. But maybe you don't know that. And so you think, well, how much could he care? You go back in the bedroom and give him the silent treatment for the next day or two. And you take his behavior personally. And then all of the relationship plays out from that taking it personally, when really he was just doing what guys do, which is compartmentalizing everything. That's why men can go to war, and that's why men can shoot an animal to bring food home for their family. They compartmentalize. They're able to disassociate from their feelings. And if you don't know that men are able to disassociate from their feelings, because we women aren't, then that could be a big thing in a relationship. So just being able to understand just the simple differences between men and women can make a huge difference in a couple's relationship. It can make or break a relationship, really.
So what if a woman learns that?
You know, the most important thing a woman can learn is to take responsibility for her own happiness and not rely on a man, or not wait for the man to come along to make her happy. Do what makes you happy. Get on with your life. He'll come along. He's looking for you, girlfriend. You're the prize. You do not have to go looking. The prize does not have to go looking for contestants. You know? You're the prize. He will find you. Men can't live without women. And so taking care of yourself, you know, if a man walks into anywhere and he sees two women who are equally beautiful, equally great personality, equally emotionally stable, equally everything they want in a woman, one looks happier, the other one doesn't look so happy, which one is he going to choose? He's going to choose the happy one, because it's easier to keep a happy woman happy than to make a sad woman or an unhappy woman happy and then try and keep her there. So it's our job to be happy so that we are attractive to those kinds of men or people, depending on your preference, that you want to be attracted to. You know, we get to decide who we want to be with. We're the ones with the prize, the cookie, whatever you want to call it. And so not to be walking around like, hey, you know, come find me, I'm all that in a bag of chips, but do what makes you happy, because in doing what makes you happy, you're likely to find somebody who will make you happy. Men's job is not to make us happy. A man's job is to make us happier. Our job is to be happy. That's the first thing a woman can do.
Nice. I love that. And there's nothing else I can really say about that or add to that, by the way. That is definitely
one of the rules in my book: take responsibility for your own happiness. You know, and you know what? It actually is the most popular rule in my book, because men love a woman who takes responsibility for their own happiness, because then he doesn't have to toe the rope. You know, he doesn't have to
pull the whole thing himself.
You know what? Men have to, they're responsible for their own happiness. I mean, we're all responsible. It's not his job to be responsible for his happiness and yours. We're all responsible for our own.
I see. Yeah. That definitely makes sense. I mean, we are individuals, so we could be responsible for our own, we can be responsible for our own happiness, because even when we were a child, we had some happy times, and most of them were not dependent on other people.
Right.
Right, so as we grow.
And you know what else I've learned is things do not, the most wonderful blessings, miracles, encounters, whatever you want to call it, they happen when you're taking care of yourself, emotionally, physically, mentally. When you take care of yourself, wonderful things can appear. Out of seemingly nowhere.
So what do you think is your first step into creating your own happiness? Where does someone start to find out about themselves?
You know, what I hear a lot from women is they're looking for a man who's, you know, stable, doesn't have baggage, gets along well with his ex and his children. What I would suggest when a woman does is make a list of the qualities that you want in a partner. And then after you make that list, go back down the list and check, put a check mark next to each one of those things that you are as well. Because you can only attract what you, if you don't want someone who's jealous, then it might be a good idea to look inside and say, you know, am I a jealous person? Do I get jealous easily? And why do I get jealous? Which stems from insecurity. And then looking at that and healing that, because if you want to attract somebody who isn't a jealous person, you need to be what you want to attract. And so making a list of what you want in somebody, and then the ones you can't check off, then that's an indication, oh, that's what I need to work on. So then you know what you need to work on. And you know what you have handled, and you know what you need to work on.
So you're kind of saying a relationship is kind of like a magnet, you get pulled together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we attract, like attracts like.
Cool. our first place to start, apparently, is with a list that we need to be doing ourselves. And look, this is more of a conversation about responsibility than it is about finding someone special.
Well, you know, it's in the taking the responsibility that that person can actually show up. I mean, maybe you take a workshop to learn how to be more responsible or more happy or more whatever it is, and in the workshop you meet somebody. Or, you know, I was at the farmer's market the other day and was chatting with this guy about somebody's dog who walked by, and we got to talking, and it turned out he was a cousin of mine that we never met. We knew about each other, but we never met. So you just never know when someone's going to show up.
Exactly. So how are we going to be ready for this person when they do show up? Because if they just pop up and we're not exactly fully ready, what do you think are, like, steps to quickly move on to this readiness spot? I mean, everyone's looking for something that, you know, it's quick. So how do you get
Yeah, every, you know, swipe left, swipe right, you know. And, yeah. I mean, and that's okay. That's the age we're in. You can't change that. But I think, you know, being your authentic, being who you are and not trying to be like every other woman out there with long hair and beautiful eyes and beautiful figure and beautiful this and beautiful that, just be who you are. And I think that that's what attracts people to you, is your unique essence that comes out just by being who you are. You know, talking about what you like. You know, one of the things I like to do is take improv classes, and just because you get to be just a goofball, you know, and anybody can do it, because we start with throwing an imaginary ball to each other. I mean, it's simple little games, but it takes you out of your head and doing something you enjoy. You know, there's been men there that I've met, I mean, not that I've dated, but you know, that's a place. So when you're doing things that you enjoy to, that's when, and you want to meet someone who has the same hobbies, if you will, and likes and dislikes as you. So do the thing, get out there and do the things that you like. Make yourself a little uncomfortable. Maybe you have to go alone. You don't have a friend to go with. But you know what? Here's another secret. If you go out alone, you're much more easy to be approached by a man. And the thing about being approached by a man is, when a man, let's say a man sees you at a restaurant, he wants to introduce himself to you, wants to talk to you, wants to get your number, whatever. He has to figure out how, and if you're with your friends, is he going to go up to you, come up to you while you're with your friends? Do you get up and go to the bathroom? He has to figure out what to say so you don't think he's a creep or a weirdo, because the first, you know, first impressions are everything. So timing, he has to figure out what to say. I mean, he's got one chance to make a good first impression to get your number. So he's trying to plan in his head, when's the best time to approach you and what to say and everything. So if you're alone, you're more approachable. He doesn't have to wait for an opportunity for your girlfriends to leave. You can ask any man, how many times have you been somewhere and you wanted to meet a woman and the opportunity never presented itself? And every man will raise his hand. It happens all the time. Because we have our headphones in. You basically have to tap somebody on the shoulder now to talk to them because everybody's on their headphones. So being alone is one way to be way more approachable. And doing the things that you love to do and meeting people in those activities is a really good way. You know, I don't really recommend going to singles things because I just don't recommend it that much. I don't want to say anything not nice.
Oh, okay.
They tend to be heavily, you know, top-heavy women, and they're different. They're different.
Okay.
All single people, it's very different culture, a very different environment, and, you know, people can be hecklers and say things that are out of place, and so I don't really recommend singles events, but do what you love to do. Go play tennis, go to a, you know, happy hour. Even if you don't drink, go to happy hour at a restaurant, because some restaurants have great happy hour menus. You still get to sit at the bar and meet people. I've met a ton of people doing that. So,
hey, we've sold a ton of books doing that. You don't know where most of your sales are, Mark. People are talking, you know, they start drinking. I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll buy that. Okay, cool. Really nice of them. But anyway.
Amazing.
So how do you feel that the temporary relationship culture has affected the odds for having a long-term, meaningful relationship?
Oh, that's a big question. You know what? We're... People are living longer than they used to, so, and they're getting married. And if you get married in your 20s and you live into your 80s, that's 60 years of going through all the different changes in life with somebody in the hope and prayer that you're going to change together and stay in love and stay in a, want to both be staying in a committed relationship for the, all the right reasons. And in some ways, it's not even, it's not as doable as it used to be. We change. Every 7 years, our priorities change. You know, you're 7 years old, you're trying to figure out how to just be a human being. You're 7 to 14, you're trying to, you're establishing yourself as, oh, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can think this, and I can do things for myself. And, you know, 14 to 21, you're finishing your education and figuring out where you want to go to school. It's 21 to 28, you're trying to ease into the profession you've chosen for yourself and maybe find a life partner. You know, every 7 years, our priorities change. And when you're in a relationship with somebody, you have to be committed to that relationship and committed to the longevity of that relationship and have mutual respect for each other for you to travel through those every 7 year changes and still make love and your relationship a priority. I tell people all the time, there's you, there's your partner, and there's the relationship. Some things you do for you, some things you do for your partner, and some things you do for the relationship. So you can be pissed off at your partner, but you can still do something for the relationship and still be mad at them.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because it's something that's mutually beneficial and it's right for the relationship.
Right. Like, but I'm mad at you, but I'm committed to this relationship. So for the relationship, I'm going to forgive you. For the relationship, I'm going to overlook or I'm going to whatever. But, you know, it's going to take me some time to get upset with you. Just because somebody says they're sorry doesn't mean we're made out of rubber and we bounce back. We need time. You know, I need time to process what you said. And as a woman, if you say you're sorry to me, if a man, and I'm in a relationship with a man, says he's sorry to me, I want to know, because we're different. This is another way we're different as men and women. I want to know what you're sorry for. I want to just hear the words. I want to know how sorry are you, and I want to know what you're going to do to make up for it. So I'm sorry is the beginning of an apology for a man, for a woman. You say I'm sorry to a man, he'll be like, never happened. They just move on. We're very different. And knowing, just learning, I say this all the time, learning about our differences is so empowering because then you get to be you, take more responsibility for your happiness, and the relationship benefits as well.
So what do you have to say for people who are coming back into the dating world? I just hung out with a divorcee, and she was like, I had to figure out if I'm still viable, because, you know, I was married for years, and now I'm back. And I was like, dude, you got married in your 20s, and you're back in your 20s. Don't you? But anyway.
She didn't miss that much.
Right, no, but actually she did. That was amazing, because she was like, the whole Tinder thing hadn't happened, and Bumble wasn't big, and yeah, so she missed that, and now she's back, and she's like, oh, wow, this is different, and I was like, all right, cool. Because there was dating sites, not dating apps when she was here.
Right.
She was like, oh, let me try this one and that one, and they weren't that great.
No, they're
but
not.
Anyway.
Well, you know, they put fake people's pictures on those sites so that you'll be like, wow, look at all these good-looking men or all these good-looking women, and so you get on there, they're all fake profiles. The company itself sets up fake profiles of good-looking people. And the proof is you send them a message you never hear back because they don't exist. It's just to get you on their website. So what I would say to people like your friend who's just got out of a relationship and, you know, misses being in a relationship, misses having that companionship is just take some time for yourself. Do some investigation. What did you contribute to the relationship that didn't work? What did you contribute to the relationship that did work? What do you want to do differently in another relationship so that you don't bring the same problem, the same issue to your new relationship? Take that time. Because if you don't take that time, you're just going to take it into the next relationship, and then you're just accumulating stuff that needs to be resolved. So take some time for yourself. Do some personal investigation. Take some alone time. You know, be with nature. Really do some journaling. Get in touch with who you are so that you're real clear about what you want when you go out into the world and meet somebody new. And maybe you meet somebody real quick right away. Some people do. And they're really into you, because guys, that's how they are. They're real into you at the beginning, and then they're like, eh, not so much, sometimes. And so, even though it sounds really great to get a relationship right away, do that personal interrogation, because it will pay off in spades. It really will. Everybody should do that when they come out of a relationship, especially a marriage.
Exactly. I actually spent... I actually spent 10 years doing personal investigation and being friends, not just personal investigation for myself, but I spent a lot of that time just being friends with guys who were currently dating. Like, I got to hear about their dates, and, like, it took me a while, first of all, just to become a guy that, you know, you watch football with and hang out with and that sort of thing, and actually have a conversation. I know I wasn't going to get every conversation, but just to let the guards down and have, like, conversation with their friends, and you're like, oh, that's what y'all really think. So, you know, to have that, like, in your head now and know that, okay, this is what that means, that's what this means. Oh, and I know how I feel about it and what they mean from it. It's a long journey, but it was a lot of fun. Met a lot of really cool guys, and now they're all married. It's weird,
but you know what? Ask them the questions you want to know about men. Why do men do this? And when men do say this, do they really ask them? Because they'll tell you, especially the married.
Oh, they will. They definitely will.
You know, they're your greatest teachers sometimes.
They definitely, but some of them have old information.
Yeah. You know, some of us are still old school. I mean, women. We, and I don't know that it's old school. Women still want to be romanced. We want to still feel like the most special woman in the room. I don't think that's ever going to change. And when we don't feel special, you know what happens is the attraction fades. So when he stops doing all those little things that he did in the beginning, if he doesn't continue to do them with some regularity, you know, inevitably the attraction will fade.
Okay. I can definitely understand.
And that's one of the reasons it's really important for men to continue to do the little things they did in the beginning, because... And the flip side of that is women need to appreciate them for their efforts. If women never hear anything but this, men gravitate to where the appreciation lives. And if you're not appreciating your man for taking out the trash, it doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be, he gave you a great orgasm, thank you. It could be he took out the trash, some little thing, he picked you up. Appreciate a man for his efforts, because he will gravitate to where the appreciation lives. If it lives at the gym, if it lives at work, that lives on his computer watching porn, he will gravitate to where he's being appreciated. And once we get married, once we get into a relationship where we're living with each other, we forget to say thank you for the little things. You know, I didn't thank my husband for vacuuming the carpets. The house is half his. The carpet's half his. Why do I have to thank him for vacuuming the carpet that's half his? Because that's what he needs to feel good about himself so he can be not good and loving to me. And it just sucks.
Okay.
You know, it just circles.
Okay, I've honestly heard you say this quite a few times, and I personally, thoroughly, and completely disagree. Mostly because every relationship that I'm in, I do that. And every last one of them leaves horribly and gets a woman who doesn't appreciate and doesn't think, and they are very, very happy.
Well, they might be happy. Their partner might be happy, but you did your part. I mean, they might have still left, but you still appreciated them for their efforts. And in that moment, that was a good thing. That was a contribution to the relationship that was positive. You know, Dr. Phil would always say you're either contaminating or contributing at any moment in any relationship. And so you did your part. He left. That's on him. That's not on you.
It's not just him. Like, it's many hims. And then, like, you apply that to friendship.
You know what? God's doing you a favor by getting them out of your life so the right guy can show up.
Many them. So there you go. So, I mean, I love that information, and I do always tell women that you definitely need to think about this appreciation factor, because they're doing things, and you need to see those things, and you need to say thank you for those things. But I find the more that you think, and you're like, well, thank you for that, the less they thank you, the less they appreciate you, the less they care about what you're doing, because everything I do is wonderful. And off they go to somebody else. So, I guess it isn't in a way.
But you know what? It's like they're just preparing you for the right guy. You're learning all the stuff you need to learn from them. They're getting you all prepared. And then when the right guy comes along, you did all the stuff, you know, you got all the stuff out of the way with the other relationships.
They have taught me to appreciate me and be happy with just having a relationship with just only me. And I just don't even bother anymore. Well, it's the purpose, the point, I don't care.
Amen,
I guess that means I became a little jaded on that one. But anyway, I guess it did become a round table and a thing. Because you have a round table for differing opinions.
Yeah.
So anyway, I definitely understand where you're coming from on that. So if you had last words of wisdom for any woman out there who, or woman or man actually, who's re-entering the dating world or just coming into the dating world, the real one, not the one where you're doing Tinder and Bumble and they leave in the morning and you're like, hey, that was fun. but the real one.
You know what? This is the dating advice I always give. When you want to date with somebody, don't do the interview thing. Don't put a table between you and ask all the questions. Those are going to come anyways. Figure out if you can have fun with this person. Because what if they have money and they have the job and they have to get along with their ex and they, you know, if everything lines up just right and they don't know how to laugh, they don't know how to have fun, they're not a happy person. You know, life is too short to not have fun and be happy. And so figure out if you can have fun together. Because if you can have fun together and you can laugh, you can work through anything. So awesome. I would encourage everybody, when you're on that first date, make it a fun date. Don't make it a Starbucks. Don't make it a meal. Go ice skating. Go, you know, a public place, of course. But go do something fun. You know, one of the guys here in Boulder, it started in Boulder, got these signs and wrote on the sign, free hugs, and stood on the Pearl Streets outdoor mall here, the tourist attraction, big, a lot of people, and just stood on the mall with the sign that says free hugs, and people would just come up and hug him. And so one day I went up to him and I said, you know, can I join you sometime? And he said, why don't you join me right now? There's a bunch of signs in my backpack. Grab one and you can do it right now. And I'm like right now? And he's like, yeah, right now. And so I did. And it was one of those wonderful experiences in my life because everybody hugs differently. So just, you know, see if you can have fun. See if you can find someone who will make some signs with you on a first date and go down to a public place and free hugs. Let me tell you, everybody's dying for a hug. They might not tell you, but everybody wants a hug, right? Especially today. We need hugs more than ever. And just, you know, see if somebody would be willing to do that on a first date. That'll tell you a lot about a person. A lot. You don't need to ask all the other questions. What you really want to know about them, you'll find out. So, that's my
encouragement. I love this advice. Because honestly, you're not going to be eating a meal at a restaurant all your life. You're going to be doing things. So let's go do
you're trying
things.
To ask questions to put salad in your mouth or a corn on the cob? I mean, come on. You got stuff in your teeth. That's not a first date. That's awkward.
So now
people go to the bathroom and don't come back. I mean, they don't ghost you. They physically ghost you in a restaurant. I mean, people are, you know, that's whatever.
So where can people find information about you on the internet?
Well, they can go to Amazon if they want to. My book is in paperback as well as ebook. And the little sticker means it won first place with the Colorado Independent Publishers Association. It's called Relationship Rules, 12 Strategies for Creating a Love That Lasts, with a how-to for men and a how-to for women for each one, so you don't have to guess what I'm trying to tell you. And, yeah, it's on Amazon. They can go to my website. All kinds of stuff on there that they can read, and they can sign up to hear from me and find out about events. And I do coaching with men, so if men want to do some coaching with a woman and find out why their partner is the way she is and what they can do to make the relationship better, I do that as well on Zoom.
Nice. So, very good. Very good. So you guys, please go check out Ms. Hoffman. And I know we have a relationship advice thing today instead of a roundtable, but it has been an absolute blast, and I've enjoyed Ms. Hoffman's advice. You can find everything that me, Winona, or Jade, who is not here right now, is doing at andwethought.com. Please check us out as we are going to Las Vegas, October 10th and 11th. Come learn with us, party with us, it'll be fun. Yeah, I heard in the background someone goes, party? I'm like, yeah, it's party. If I'm going, I'm going to party. I'm sorry. That's going to end up happening. But anyway, check out everything we're doing at andwethought.com. And remember that wisdom is all around you if you're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love from Winona, who still didn't get her nails done for a magazine launch party.